mind over matter, overcompensating, overstatements, crookedness related, the soul's churn in return, mental overstimulation, one word, riveting, it tethers my pilot, streams that are promised to make seeking less.
Greetings, greetings. We have a special guest here today, good friend of mine. He's an emerging actor, screenwriter. You know, he's quite a poet in his own right. You know, he's a bit of a wordsmith. I'll give him that. Jasker May. Welcome to Poetry Journal Podcast. It's great to have you on. I know we spoke about this for a good few months, but you know, you're a busy guy and you've had a lot of things to do, so I appreciate you giving me some of your time, man. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's so lovely to be here, and I am so happy to be here because I've never actually been interviewed in this way before, so it's very exciting. How are you?
Not bad. I'm positive, man. You know, it's good to have a face, a familiar face, once in a while. A good friend of mine. So, yeah, man, we speak all the time. So it's good to share the platform and just, like, you know, room for expression. I like to just create this it, to make it more like almost like a discussion, you know what I mean? Just because I always have questions, and I get this understanding where people want to express. Now, it might not be necessarily what they think they want to speak about, but sometimes some of the questions I ask, I understand that it provokes thought, and so through that, it's almost like I facilitate this environment where people actually just, you know, put them in the mood to kind of express what they really want to say. Sometimes you just start with just, you know, just answering what I have to ask you, but we end up in a place where, you know, we speak about so many different things that they don't even know that they might want to touch on. Do you get what I mean? So this is the type of thing I like about podcasting, the way I do it. So yeah, man, yeah. But like I said, it's great to have you on. As you know, did you have anything to say? I was gonna move on to something else.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, I love watching podcasts, all sorts of podcasts, including this one here, and it's very unfiltered. And it's quite rare, especially on television, where conversation is just unfiltered, because you have to be quite careful, yep, with reason, but you have to be quite careful with what you say. And sometimes it's just nice to have that spontaneity. I think it's really refreshing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, man, just that organic feel, because sometimes, yes, of course, I have things I want to ask, but sometimes I'm speaking to somebody and they see certain things that it's just like, or they veer into certain places that, in terms of like discussion and subject matter, where I'm just like, I've got to let it go. Do you get me? And I've got to just let it just happen.
Yeah.
I appreciate that about people, the fact that they can be so candid and wanting to speak about so many different things with me, and the opportunity to be, they fully grasp the opportunity to be vulnerable and just be open. That's something I want this space to be about as well. But let me share something with you, and then we can kind of go into more in-depth discussion.
Perfect.
It says, the bubbling of effervescence, a rarity that one finds folly to add summary to its content. The ultimate definition is one that I'm missing. Looking to the sky for the sun's ultimate kissing. Perhaps the cosmic can deviate the onset of my plight. Growing sick as I re-emit like a trilogy. Knee-jerk as I put my own cosmic chimes to the current times. Never knowing where the world will fill these lines. Thus I settle for letting them think of time. For the ponderings of mere contemplation, I cannot downplay how much it means to me. Though a double-headed sword, you see, at times, even in hindsight, no choice but to mutate the beast similarly. Yeah. Somewhat of a spanner in the works.
Yeah, I love it. I really love the text. I really love the language of the text, and it almost highlights how when we are wanting to be effervescent, when we are wanting to express ourselves, yeah, because of society, there's an element of society which tells us that we must suppress that effervescence or suppress expressing how we want to feel.
That's right. And so a mere thinker, just to put it humbly, these are some of the things that come to mind when I think about men, or just what we bring to the table as humans, or just being men. The power of thought, you know, our ability to lead, to grasp our situation and reality. So my first question to you would be, how important is leadership to you at this stage of your life?
Gosh. that is a great question. I feel like for most of my life, because I'm in my early 20s, I'll be 24 this year. I feel like when you get to the age of 18, most of your life is dictated to you. Yeah. And so I'm enjoying the art and the practice of life where I'm not being told what to do. I may be guided on what it is that I need to do by parents or by friends or by people who run companies, etc. Yeah. But I am in charge of my own destiny. And that's something which some people find scary, but I find liberating. I find it absolutely brilliant because we're all learning, and especially, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I am starting to understand that if you're a parent, you know, you do want to hold on to your child, you know, don't let go, because the world can be quite scary. But I'm delighted to be able to just express and throw myself into things.
See, that's the thing I like about this, because this is a very, it's different, because, and this is why I thought it was great for you just to approach it like this, because you're so young, but at the same time, I know you're very advanced for your age. It takes up like up here. So I know you can handle the questions, but also you can kind of give an insight where people at your age probably are not necessarily privy to at this age, because they haven't maybe grasped as much of life as maybe you have. So that's why I really wanted to ask and go the direction that we're about to go into. The need to have the ability to share thoughts and expression. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's very important, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender or your sexuality, you have to speak about how you feel. Because I think a lot of the time now, especially on social media, and probably one platform in particular, Instagram, where everything is so much about the result. Oh, look at me, I've done this. I'll look at my car, I'll look at my this, look at my that, and it's very fake. Everything these days is fake. There's never this sort of showing the process of what you're doing. There's never showing, you know, the struggle, because everything is very filtered. And it's important to talk about how you feel, but I feel as though we live in a society where there is a double standard. So let's say, for example, I could talk about mental health.
Yeah.
And when you look at the statistics, men, and this isn't to sort of dismiss any other gender when it comes to mental health, because I think it is all an encompassing thing.
Yeah.
But when a man talks about mental health, people say, oh, look, let's talk about this, let's have a good discussion. But then if we want to go into it further, oh, no, you're talking too much. And so the suppression starts again. And especially for men, regardless of where they sit on the spectrum, whether they're, you know, sort of very alpha or they're quite feminine with the way in which they present themselves, it's incredibly dangerous. And male suicide is a huge problem, and it's something that we have to come to terms with as a wider society, but as men. It's okay to cry, it's okay to be vulnerable. Actually, that shows strength when you're vulnerable a little bit. And especially because, as we're both artists, you know, when we're on stage, when we're performing, even if we don't feel vulnerable or we feel nervous, the fact that we're stepping onto the stage and we're presenting ourselves is a vulnerable act in itself. And it's just about letting people in, really.
Very, very. I mean, you know, it's kind of like it's a gateway, isn't it? If how can you expect somebody to be vulnerable or kind of actually feel what you're giving them if they don't open up? But in order for you to kind of express, or even for them to even resonate, you have to give something out, don't you? How can you give something out if you don't open up? So there has to be a certain level of reciprocation between the two parties to actually have this process where we actually understand, we have a sense of understanding to the point where we actually resonate with each other. I think that's so important, especially as artists, as ourselves, where we go out there and we actually cognizant enough to kind of be at a burden and what comes with it, to be like, you know what, let me give back. Because essentially that's pretty much what you're doing as a performer. You're not only providing your service, but you're providing an outlet for your audience, for your community. Because to an extent, it depends on how much it means to you, but some people they think of it as an audience. But when it means a lot to you, like this is your path, I think it's more than that. I think it's somewhat of a community where it's almost like you're checking for each other, and nobody want to be, no, you don't want to see anybody left behind in terms of their part. You know, you want them to kind of accomplish something, or just be accomplished to begin with. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot of thought and expressions that without being vulnerable, you're gonna miss that boat, you know? It's very important to have that understanding between the two and be almost aware of where that fine line is, for sure. What do you think that separates you, or more specifically your aura, from everybody with the ability to do what you do as an actor? And maybe perhaps then you can kind of tap into your viewpoint as a poet as well.
That's a great question. And the thing is that anybody can be creative. I genuinely believe that everybody has some form of creativity. And there is this brilliant book by John Cleese called Creativity. It's only a very short book, and he goes into the art of just finding your own space and not being intruded or disturbed by other people in order to find that creativity. And with any creative actor, poet, writer, director, somebody who sculpts, somebody who's an architect, they view the world in a 360 perspective. They view even the smaller, minor details within a larger context.
Yeah.
And especially with acting, and even because I'm writing a play at the moment, two plays actually, it's very important that you find empathy with the human condition. I think at the moment we are too focused on judging people, throwing stones at people, and it's dangerous because at the end of the day we're all human. We've all made mistakes. Let's not beat around the bush. I've made some stupid mistakes, and it's important to learn from it, to educate yourself, forgive yourself for it, and try and find a way of doing better in the world. And I think as artists, that is something which we hold mirror to with the work that we do. And in terms of being vulnerable, that is it. It is delving into other people, and it is about finding the truth, which is so important in acting. It is about finding the truth. It is about finding the passion of a scene. And it's so therapeutic. And I'm literally doing acting classes at the moment, and oh, there's such a buzz when you're in the room. There's such a buzz when you get your teeth into a script, and you know, you just let your thoughts go alive. And the thing is that also with acting and the art of vulnerability, it's just not letting your ego get the better of you. It's something that we all have. We all have an ego. And it's just important to throw away all of those negative thoughts, which always come up on an everyday basis, and just to be as present as you can possibly be. Presence is very important.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Is there a certain viewpoint, do you think, that is very, it's almost like a distinction when it comes to actors, per se, as opposed to any other creative? Is there a certain distinction, do you think, in terms of like viewpoint in the way, but you mentioned like view, where you see the world and stuff like that?
That's such a great question. I mean, I can only speak for how I view the world, because every actor has their own viewpoint on how they see the craft, on how they see the world. But I don't just view myself as an actor. I view myself as a practitioner. So when I'm writing a play, I think of not only me as the writer, playwright, but I also think of the actors. Because if you're a writer, if you're a director, if you're an actor, you always think about actions, you always think about objectives. What do I want? How will I get it? What are the obstacles?
Yeah.
Which really can hone down on a single moment or a wider moment. And I think it's important as an actor, because sometimes when I go through life, or whether I journal, or whether I am doing something, I always try and hone it back to that sort of, not method, but the discipline of goals, which is very important in any career, in any life.
You mentioned something about everything is magnified. Whether you're in your field or just being an artist in general, it reminded me of a question somebody asked me. How do you go about creating? How do you go about devising a piece or something like that? And I was just thinking of a way to kind of simplify it to them. And it veered along that line where we're speaking about magnification of the little things. And I guess the way I went about it was I was just like, if you think about emotion, and you know, when people think about emotion, it's all about feeling. But what if you was to take a piece of emotion and you dissect it, put it on a, you have your laboratory, take a piece of emotion, you dissect it, and you blow it up under the microscope. Essentially, that's pretty much what I think. What I think, in a lot of ways, whether you're, well, me, just to speak for myself, that's one of the ways I think about poetry. I think about creating, the feelings that come with it, the conviction behind everything, the projection. I think it all starts with what you see, what you think, how you feel, how does it resonate, the frequency at which you're depicting, at which you're sharing, at which resonates with you. I think these are things that we all are cognizant of as not only poets, as myself, but as actors, as singers. I was with a jazz musician last week, and you know, that's one of the things that we speak about, just the sounds. Like, I'm not a musician, but I can listen to sounds all day, and it speaks to me, you know. And I think we have this power as poets, if you will, or actors or artists, where there is this understanding of the craft, the craftsmanship, as well as the artistry behind it, to almost manufacture this type of emotion, or project this type of emotion that people can't help but resonate with, because it speaks to them. Do you understand what I mean?
It's
almost like there's a mirroring effect, almost, in a sense where, like, by seeing ourselves and projecting how we see ourselves, we lend them that mirror for themselves. And so we all some way somehow resonate with each other. You know, I thought it was an interesting thought.
I honestly totally agree with that. Regardless of where you sit on the creative spectrum, it's so important, especially with poetry, acting, directing, writing, that you do look at an issue with that microscopic lens, because it's so easy to fall into what I call a caricature,
yep,
where you only look at things in the surface. And especially with the play that I'm writing, I mean, it's incredibly serious, but I think about a movie, The Joker, with Joaquin Phoenix. I mean,
yeah,
his actions in the film, you think, oh goodness me, it's evil, but they're, yeah, justified because of all of the stuff that the character's gone through. And you could look at the most evil person in the world,
yeah,
and think, if you didn't know,
yeah,
you know, I think it's important, because you can look at the most evil person in the world,
yeah,
and they might have some redeemable qualities to them. But we're, yeah, so willing to point fingers at people, not knowing their circumstances, not knowing, you know, where they came from. And as I keep saying, we need to listen to people, which is the art of poetry, the art of acting, the art of writing.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, we're not listening to anyone. We're literally, I see it all the time in social media, people screaming, same, yeah, with TV. That's, yeah, why I don't really watch the news anymore. it's just a waste of time because they're not getting anywhere, because people are shouting that there's no empathy. But the great thing about what we do as creatives is that we are able to show a mirror to that, and we're able to have nuance within our conversations, within what we're showing, which is just beautiful. You know, differences don't have to be inherently bad. They can actually bring people together, because we're all one, we're all living on this planet.
You said something interesting as well. I guess maybe me being a storyteller myself, as well as a poet writing stories, I've grown to a place where I look at stories differently now, like even movies. And the very movie you're talking about, it reminds me of the your viewpoint changes, or your understanding, or just the way you see it. I suppose the only way to describe it is almost like you develop more of an objectivity, or like an objective perspective, voice on what you see and what you understand. I say that to say that the Joker, for example, he's not necessarily a villain to me anymore. He is almost humanized in my head, because I understand what it takes to become a person that he became in the end. And just thinking about the whole concept of how they developed the whole story, it was all veered, or just the way they kind of developed it and how they spoke about it narratively, it was all to do with how easily it was to turn from being somebody of good nature, a good natured person, to somebody that's absolutely born from chaos, and all you want is destruction, all you want is just to see the world burn, because that's pretty much what the Joker is, isn't it? You know,
absolutely.
So man, that's very interesting for sure. Here's a very abstract question. How important are creatives to this world we live in, this piece of rock we inhabit?
Extremely important. I shouldn't have hesitated then, but extremely important, because not only do we put a mirror up to the world in terms of showing that nuance, but we also go against the conventions of the world, which is to sort of stay in your lane and conform. And quite often I've had encounters with people, not necessarily people that I know, but, you know, just going to events or going to different situations. And when people hear the word actor, they think, oh, they're not going to make it, or they're not going to do this. Oh, why don't you just stick to your day job? And in a way, you can look at it from a standpoint of, oh, well, they're not being very nice, or, well, they're not supportive. But I look at it in another way. Maybe they say those things because they haven't had the support at home. They haven't had the guidance that some people have. And so, again, it's finding that empathy. And when you tap into that, being a creative is a very beautiful thing, a privilege, actually. And I don't care about being famous. I don't care about fame or money. I just care for the enjoyment. Even when there are days when the process can be at its most challenging, it's a privilege, and you feel as if you learn more about the world. You feel as if you learn more about yourself, because even in a creative journey, you're just like everybody else. You're just navigating your way on this earth, trying to draw conclusions, trying to find ways in which you can encapsulate how you feel, the world in which you live in, which is always a subjective experience. And that's the beauty of it. And That's why I love cinema, I love theatre, I love spoken word, I love all forms of arts, even the ones or genres, let's say, of music, for example, that I don't appreciate. I mean, I'm just going to put my hands up. I'm not a fan of country, I'm not a fan of rap, but should it have its place in the world? Absolutely yes, because people like it, it's popular, it says something about a certain individual, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think the day when we don't appreciate it, which I don't want to be too political here, but what I feel has happened in the UK, especially with the government cutting the arts fund and making it much harder, yes. I think the day we start doing that, which we've already done, is when we don't give spaces to people who may not necessarily come from an academic background. And that is dangerous, because if you're creative, I mean, yeah. By God, it doesn't mean you're not intelligent. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a good start in life. You can absolutely look at the world in a different view. And what's so wonderful about this industry is just how much it intersects into other careers. So I tutor on the side. You need innate, not only what I say, confidence, but you need adaptability. Things are changing all the time, and that's the beauty of the creative world, the fact that we are adaptable beings. Because we're quite fluid in the way in which we operate, it's quite awe-inspiring, actually.
It's the I think it's the problem-solving nature we have. You know, we're innate problem solvers.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's by nature. The possibility of thinking, the embracing of choice, and carrying the torch for oneself, belief. That is something I cannot put a price tag on, because there is no price tag that could quantify such a thing, in my opinion. Because I think it is a factor so important to one's well-being, to one's psyche. To be a leader is no small feat. However, even such a thing depicts a decision of torch-bearing, you know. A thought came to mind after, me just there, just pondering on this notion, which was this. As Atlas shrugged, the world could sense their mortality. I'm not sure if you know who Atlas is, but...
That is really quite profound, actually.
You get where I was going with this.
Please carry on. I'm sorry if I interrupted.
No. I was just going to say, as Atlas shrugged, the world could sense the immortality. Who are we without the star, to the stardust of thought? Some say no better than the animals, but I digress. Just a few food for thought. I just wanted to sum up this episode, but I wanted to give you the floor. Just tell us about what things you've got going on before we finish.
Oh gosh, that's fantastic. So I'll try to keep this short, but obviously throughout this episode I've been just incrementally inserting the sort of plays that I'm writing, which is something that is going on. I recently did an acting project. I'm not going to say the name of it because I'm not allowed to. But I did an acting project and it was immersive and it was incredible. And I got to perform in front of some very well-known people in the performing arts. And that was really a brilliant test in terms of acting, because I was in character,
Yeah.
I couldn't say, oh, it's X celebrity. Oh, it's Y celebrity. You've just got to stay in character. And that was just a brilliant test. And it was really lovely and humbling because although I don't care about being famous, just the opportunity of meeting so many like-minded artists from lots of backgrounds is just the most incredible thing. And I am really focusing on a play, one particular play on revenge porn. It's incredibly serious matter, which has been shown in documentaries, but it hasn't, to my knowledge, been dramatized on television, film, or theater. And it's something that I've been working on.
That's amazing, man. And congratulations on all your success, man. I wish you all the best. And just keep going, man. Just keep going. It's a great thing to see somebody that's really passionate about it. And not only that, as I said, you're at an age now where you're still very young, but you actually know what you want to do from such an early age. And I think that in itself is a blessing, because even people my age are still searching for something. To call their own or call their part. So, you know, it's a privilege. I consider it a privilege to kind of be in this space where I'm on my own. You know, I understand who I am and what I want to do. It speaks to the importance of self-mastery. One can't be a self-mastered individual if you don't know yourself.
So, absolutely.
Thanks so much for coming through, sharing your time with me.
You're so welcome. Honestly, it's been so lovely to have this amazing conversation, and I can't wait to see more of your poetry performances. I've loved watching every single one.
Appreciate that, man. Absolutely. You know, we'll talk and I'll keep you posted and everything. Thanks so much. Take care.
You're so welcome. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Same to you, my friend.
Mind over matter, overcompensating, overstatements, crookedness related, the soul's churn in return, mental overstimulation, one word, riveting, it tethers my pilot, streams that are promised to make seeking less.